It's the Quizzo Cast, a behind-the-scenes look at the questions, writers, hosts, and players of Michigan's top pub trivia community. Here are your hosts, John Gay and Tom Whitaker.
Welcome in. It is episode number 9 of the Quizzo Cast. We have a very special guest in with us tonight. Maybe most famous Quizzo host in the city of Detroit, Tom?
The most famous Quizzo host? You could say that.
He's not famous for Quizzo, but he's famous for other things.
I think it's our only published author at Quizzo.
That is absolutely true.
Of course we've got Katie, not a published author, although you could be.
Yet.
You got a blog going.
I do, and let me tell you, I just hit about 38,000 views.
Congratulations. Oh, so maybe you're more famous than I thought.
Thank you.
But actually, who we're going to introduce, our actual guest today, host Aaron Foley. Hey, Aaron.
So how am I the most famous? I've not been on Jeopardy.
That is an excellent point. As we can see, Jason beaming from behind the glass.
$38,000.
Yeah, 38,000 followers, $38,000.
Well, how well has the book sold, Aaron? I mean,
38,000 copies?
No.
I mean, how many people watch Jeopardy? That'd be the question. If more people bought the book or if more people watched the two nights that Jason was on Jeopardy.
I have two of his books.
Listen, no disrespect. More people are watching Jeopardy.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's a staple.
Yeah, people don't read anymore.
But before we drag the book through the mud, why don't you tell us about your book? It's all about what, you know, Detroit, what
book.
We love. So sell us on your book.
At the tail end of 2015, I wrote a book called How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass. And I did it as sort of like a guidebook for, like, there's a ton of interest in Detroit right now. And a lot of people are moving here, but a lot of people have a lot of like misconceptions and wrong ideas about how to live in Detroit. So me being from Detroit and being raised in Detroit, wasn't born here, but spent my entire life here, about all the things that people are doing in Detroit right now. So buying a house and trying to get a job and going out and being social, but also kind of like talking about the city's history and some of the good things that have happened and the bad things that have happened, and all from, like, you know, the perspective of someone who's been there, done that. I had to update it because, like, so many things have happened in Detroit in the last 3 years. Unfortunately, a lot of people died, but a lot of new things, like the Q line wasn't a thing when I first did it. Now it is. All this stuff has happened. So new version came out a couple of months ago. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Now I gotta buy it.
And I will say, as the second time that you and I have done a podcast together, Aaron, you were a guest on my old show, The Debrief. And before you came on the show to prep for the interview, I read your book. And I first moved here in 2011. And I read How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass maybe a year ago. And I was like, man, I wish I'd read this book when I first moved here. Because I probably pulled some of the jackass moves in your book. But
I
now
wish I thought of it in 2011. Then it may be 38,000 copies. Like,
but I also hear what you're saying about how quickly the city changes. Because I left here in 2013 and I came back in 2016. And in just those 3 years, it was just a completely different city from when I left to when I came back. So how much updating did you have to do in the second edition of the book?
A lot. Literally up until we had to go to press with it. And it sounds morbid, but I was waiting to find out if Aretha Franklin was going to pull through or not. Like, so that week that was going on, we were all like, well, I mean, the whole city, like when they first announced how gravely ill she was, everyone was just on pins and needles. But I was just like, well, is she going to, like, I got to like change one word in this one paragraph to see. And unfortunately, she did pass away. But things like that happened. Mike Ilitch had passed away. Sergio Marchionne passed away.
Oh, yeah.
All of that happened. So three major people who had great impact on the city had to update those things. The Q line was a pie in the sky idea 3 years ago. Now it's in existence. The Ford Motor Company purchase of the train station. Never thought that was going to happen.
And that was really recent.
Had to put that in there.
Yeah, it still kind of upsets me. I liked the train station better when it didn't have windows and looked a little ominous and foreboding. Like, I liked it.
But it was like the whole ruin porn thing. Like, all the tourists that come in to see all the ruin porn.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was me.
I think a lot of people have mixed emotions in that. So I'd be curious for your take on it, Aaron.
It's one of those things that, like, as long as I've been alive, it's been empty. Like, I was born in 84. The thing emptied out in 86. So, like, I've never known it to be anything other than what it's been. So, but, I mean, you're right. I mean, it is one of those things that, like, people just take pictures of that and nothing else. When Detroit is so huge and it does have so many occupied buildings and occupied homes, you know, what does it say when like people ignore that? So, I mean, not to say that like people do, but like, I mean, it does kind of get frustrating when the only reason why you come to Detroit is like, it's one thing to go to Rome to see the Colosseum and stuff, and stuff like that. But those are like actual ruins.
It's
like,
a little different.
Yeah. Those are like 1,000 years old or whatever. But like, this is something that is part of a painful part of Detroit's history. So to kind of see it revitalized in the way that it should be, it means a lot.
It felt a lot to me like the last thing kind of holding us back. I know that that's a little dramatic, but just 2 years ago or even this year, we've still got just a handful of empty skyscrapers. But by the end of this year, Book Tower will be open.
Yep.
You've got David Stotts open. The Metropolitan Building's open. So it's now all of these big buildings in Detroit that shouldn't be empty are going to be occupied. And the train station was kind of that last one kind of like hanging on. And then they made that announcement and it almost felt like, oh, the city's full. Like, okay, like we're going to do it.
There's still one big building that is waiting and it's way on the west side of the city. It's the old American Motors Corporation plant. That doesn't get talked about much at all because it's not downtown. It's not Corktown, but it's where for decades, I believe it's an Albert Kahn building. You know, we used to have four. There was more than four American car companies based in Detroit. But for a long time, we still had Ford, Chrysler, GM and AMC. And so AMC's headquarters was in that building. And that's where they built like the Pacer and the Gremlin and all those old school cars and things like that.
Did they own the Jeep, too?
They
sold Jeep to Chrysler. Right?
They sold Jeep to Chrysler in the 80s. And Chrysler remained in that building on the west side up until like 2002 or 2003. And then that's when they emptied out and fully moved into Auburn Hills. Mm-hmm. But that building has been sitting there 16 years. And that's been a big blight in that neighborhood. But I think maybe this year, can't say a whole lot about it, but I do know that it's definitely on the wish list for city planners to finally do something with that. And that'll mean a whole lot. That'll like kickstart a lot of energy over there on that side of town. So, yeah.
Maybe their very first Starbucks.
Yeah.
We can get finally a Starbucks on the west side of Detroit. Like, I would
listen. That'll be the thing. Whole Foods. Yeah,
right. That's how you know you made it. Soda Sopa.
And this kind of transitions well into your current day job, Aaron, which is chief storyteller for the city of Detroit. Has anybody else duplicated this title yet, or are you still the only one as far as you know?
The only one with my job title, but not the only city anymore. So the city of Atlanta hired a chief marketer or sir, I forgot what term they gave it, but when they sent out the press release about it, they said, we're following the city of Detroit. They have someone like in that position. So I'm just like, yes, I'm not the only one.
So you're saying, oh, that's cool. And I'm like, chumps, get your own ideas, Atlanta.
But see, they didn't steal the job title. If they had stolen the job title, then I would have been like,
Your job title's definitely better.
Yeah, I do
trademark.
Love it. Yeah, so.
Chief Storyteller is a good title.
That's a
dope. But a little vague. So
it is.
Take us behind the curtain. What do you do?
A chief storyteller, what I do is when I first came on board, my role was to be sort of a bridge between the city's media department and the residents. So The media department produces all this content. They film city council meetings. They make all these like public access TV shows and they do all this stuff around town. But we didn't have a digital presence. We didn't have a website. We weren't on like Facebook and Twitter as much as we should have been and all of that. The city of Detroit government has a Twitter account. And, you know, we have a social team that is very good at managing that. But the actual content that we were producing wasn't getting out there. But there's also the question of the mayor was like, how do we get some good news out there? How do we get some any kind of news out there about Detroit that's not necessarily about like crime and shootings and things like that? Not to say that these things don't happen, but, you know, new businesses opening that aren't downtown or churches doing this or schools doing that. How do we put a lens on some of those things and how do we tell those stories? And when they approached me about the job and I was just like, oh, you want me to tell stories? Like, well, let's make that the job title. So I've been doing that. Manage a website where we tell stories and have stories about residents and businesses and things like that, but also timely city government updates.
To Tom's point earlier about, you know, the big name buildings in Detroit, they're getting filled up, Michigan Central Station being one of the last ones and everything. How much of your job talks about the disconnect between we've got all this great stuff here as we look out and see Comerica, we look up and down Woodward, versus the neighborhoods in Detroit that still need some help.
One thing that we try to highlight in my position is those neighborhoods that do get overlooked in news coverage, in media coverage, and show that there are people there that care. There is life there. There are things going on, even if it's not a big, you know, ribbon cutting for the Hudson site or whatever. So one example of that is if you go east to the Jefferson Chalmers neighborhood, there's a woman there named Tammy Black, and she moved to the neighborhood and she rounded up a couple of residents, and they are building a solar powered treehouse, which is really, it's really fucking cool, actually.
That's awesome.
But it's, I mean, that's one of those things that's just like, it's not a big Dan Gilbert announcement. It's not a big Illich family.
It's not the Q, it's not the Q house.
It's not the Q line. It's none of that. It's just
Illich house for children.
It's as we sit in the hockey town cafe with all these Wings fans. But
hey, we lease this space. We're fair. We're all right.
Yeah. Oh, we're paying the Illich family. Okay. Like, okay, yeah. They're good. But like, but no, it's I mean, it's one of those things where like, you know, Jefferson Chalmers, it is a neighborhood that it's a historic neighborhood, but there's blight there. There's an abandoned school and things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those places where the community is taking some matters into their own hands. And the city is supportive of that. But we want to also make sure that their efforts are not going unacknowledged. So that's why they send people like me or some of our media team out there to go talk to these people and say, hey, we like what you're doing. We think more people should know about this. So we'll put it on our cable channel. We'll put it on our website. We'll put it on our social media. We'll do whatever we can. Same thing going on the west side. There's a woman who bought a house through the land bank over there in Five Points, and she teaches young girls how to be feminists. Like, so she like ages like 4 to 12 or something like that.
And Katie just jumped out of her seat. You got everybody excited in here.
The house used to be abandoned. They fixed it up, and now it's a little like learning house right there in the neighborhood, and all the people in the neighborhood send their daughters and whatnot to this little camp in the middle of the neighborhood. So
I'm going to volunteer with this.
I will send you the link to it.
Please do.
Yeah.
And thank you.
When you go to these neighborhoods that aren't the glitzy up and down Woodward, are they A, surprised, and B, receptive to you wanting to give them coverage?
A little bit of both. I've run into a few times where they're just like, oh, you're the government, right? Like,
you're the man.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
And honestly, that's something, I mean, that's a perception that I think we as city government employees have to work on.
They feel they've been just left behind.
Exactly. Wow. And that is a big thing. And that's something we're aware of, like on every level, like the mayor, city council, every elected official, every public person, every public facing person, even down to like the garbage guys, you know? There's a lot of work to be done. And when people are receptive to it, I do get a little surprised because this is something I care about as a Detroit resident. I want my neighbors to have faith in public service, whether I'm working for city government or not, because a big part of our identity and a big part of how us as a city has to move forward is how our government operates. Unfortunately, for many, many years, either neighborhoods were neglected or, you know, we've had public officials go to prison and we run the gamut, and trying to change perceptions for a lot of people is tough. So, you know, I take it very seriously.
You know, obviously we've got the storyteller stuff, but also your side job, like many of us in this room, a fabulous Quizzo host, right?
I wouldn't describe myself as fabulous. I'm not that egotistical.
Like most Quizzo hosts, also self-deprecating. I like it.
I love it. You know, I started because me and Bucket, we went to college together, and we ended up working together at MLive with Jason there at one point. And
the men behind the glass.
Yeah, it's this weird MLive connection here. A bunch of us who worked at MLive started our own team for a little bit, and Bucket was hosting and we won. And then there was another time where he was hosting at Town Pump. Where there was another
rest
time
in peace, by the way.
Did they
you've hosted there, right?
I love the Town Pump. I've hosted there. They're not closing. They're just like moving
They're bought out.
They're moving into Centaur.
Yeah. Oh, that's what's going on.
So they're moving across the street, but like that building, like that room of the Town Pump, it's just got the old school ceiling, the real thick, big oak wooden bar. I'm gonna miss that little spot.
I haven't been there in a while.
Wait, you know, it's just right there.
I know. I'm going to go there.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go right after this.
Let's go right after this.
Let's go right after this.
Date me. Okay. Get out of here.
Patriots don't play till Sunday. Sit back, pal.
I have a fond memory of the Talent Pump, and that's when I played. So the MLive team was supposed to get together, and everybody bailed except for me. So I was playing by myself.
Classic.
And Bucket was hosting. We tried not to let on that we knew each other because then people would know that, like, but I was playing by myself, and I came in second place. I came in first. I think I won because
you are humble.
This is going to get really narcissistic.
Thank you for the disclaimer.
Another time the MLive team played and my book had just come out on Amazon. You know how you can leave a review? Someone gave a 1-star review of my book. And the reason, you can go there now and it says, his team beat mine in trivia.
Oh my God.
That's a well-earned review.
I'm going to look.
But because Bucket was having so much fun doing it, I was just like, you have a full-time job and you're still doing this and you're also like getting paid for it. And I'm just like, you know, like this, I've always loved game shows. I love Jeopardy. I love trivia. And I was just like, I wonder if I could do this. And the Atwater gig came up and I did it. So
how long were you at Atwater?
I was there for like...
This is the downtown Atwater,
the downtown Atwater.
For you Grosse Pointe people getting excited. We're not talking about in the park.
Was it like, two and a half years now? Because I've only been at Firebird for maybe 2 seasons. So
okay.
This is my second season at Firebird. But yeah, I was doing Atwater. And then Atwater, you know, they wanted to consolidate it all into the Grosse Pointe Park location. But Atwater was fun. Like it was right down the street from my house and they're a brewery. So the beer was good. Like this time of year, they had like their Christmas ale.
Yeah.
It's full price before Christmas. But after Christmas, like you could take home a giant thing, a giant box of beer for like $10 or something like that. And so I would load up and just drink that for three.
Teeth on the review.
Yeah.
Katie's so proud of herself.
Oh, my gosh. What is it?
Let's hear it.
January 12th, 2016.
Read it like you wrote it and you're mad.
Great book, but the Bastards team took points for mine in trivia.
The Bastard! Oh,
yeah,
you villained
them! Yeah.
Hold on. 3 people found this helpful.
The rest of the team!
And I reported that to Amazon. I think my like subject line was like, seriously? Question mark? Like,
clearly they've taken great action in the last 2 years to alleviate that situation.
But that's effing up, like, what is it? Like
your algorithms?
Yeah.
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 So you also host at Firebird. What nights are you at Firebird?
Wednesdays at 6.
Because I have filled in for you there. And that's a fun gig. That is a cool gig. Number one, you don't have to lug all the speakers to Greektown because you just plug right into their system, which is nice.
So nice.
Yeah, I'm never giving up that. As long as I'm hosting Quizzo, I'm never giving up a gig where like it's so easy to host.
Well, you know, you get those sweet spot gigs where it's okay, I don't have to take a lot of gear. I've got reliable teams.
And I walk there from work.
Like, it's the right location. Like, that's my 2 gigs. Like, I've just got them like right in my sweet spot. And I got the same way. It's like, don't even look at them. Like, they're my gigs until I'm dead. Like, I got good ones. You know, back in the day when I had the TGI Fridays at the hotel, it was like, anybody, please?
Bueller,
please. Start knocking on the doors.
Please, hello. Are the Firebird people nice?
They are really nice. The management is great. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the bartenders will do a bar team.
And sometimes they'll
be nice enough if there's like one person by themselves at the bar. They're just like, oh, I really want to play. Bartenders will join in. They're friendly and everyone's nice. I always remind people, like, I like to remind people to tip
I
always do. And I have nothing to do with it. I'll just be like, tip your weight staff.
And you know why I started doing that? I really feel bad for saying this, but at Atwater, there was a league team that like had a giant fucking group. And none of them tipped. And so one of them, I won't say their names, they know who they are, but like one day at Atwater, I was talking with like the manager or one of the servers, and they're just like, yeah, you know, we know like Quizzo packs the house, but like that one team, like they bring like 20 people, and not only are they shitty customers, and you know,
they don't buy just water, do they?
No, they drink and they make substitutions on their orders, and they run the waitresses ragged, but like saying, I need this, or can you send this back? And they don't leave a tip. So after that week, I started saying after round 6, like, you know, clean up after yourselves, drive safe, but don't forget that when you cash out, tip. other teams started like thinking like, oh, you know, maybe I should leave a little bit extra. But that team still didn't do it.
Of course.
So, but now at Firebird, I haven't heard anything about like
good teams, good staff.
Good team. Yeah. Good teams, good staff. Everybody's friendly there. And I love it. You know,
here.
I filled in for you there one night. I also did a specialty holiday party there for a corporate gig. And just they are the whole staff is just fantastic. Over
in
there.
In my quest to host at every venue. I still have no Firebird because it's on a Wednesday.
Well, Tom, you'll be first on my list when I need a sub.
It's the QuizzoCast.
So you mentioned, Aaron, going to state with our dear friend Bucket.
Yes.
Do you have any good stories of Bucket from the college days?
We always like to rag on Bucket because he's usually behind the glass, can't defend himself.
He's not here.
And he's not even in the state. He's just going to hear this after the fact.
All right, so Tom, what are you drinking right now?
I'm drinking a gin and tonic.
Oh, so, well, that is what led me into my story about Bucket. So
what else is new?
we worked on the school newspaper together, the state news. And
nerds.
I did a lot of things. I was a writer, I was a copy editor. Mike was always a photographer. Every semester, the end of the semester, we do a bar crawl across East Lansing. Mm-hmm. And someone on staff has to plan the bar crawl. Then we get t-shirts made and, you know, we have to let the bars know that we're coming and all that type of stuff. That semester, I planned the bar crawl and I was thinking like, I am going to have the best route. We're going to have the best t-shirts, all of that. So I planned the bar crawl that semester and we get to the final bar, which is the Peanut Barrel. The Peanut Barrel is...
That's a good final bar.
It's a good bar. If you've ever been to the Peanut Barrel in East Lansing, that is the state news bar because on Thursdays, when the last day before the paper comes out on Fridays, it was always the state news tradition for the whole staff to go out on Thursday nights to the Peanut Barrel. And so that was our bar.
That's home base.
That was our cheers.
I'm going to call them for trivia.
But we had gone to like four bars before that, and we're all like drunk college kids, right?
Yeah.
So we get to the Peanut Barrel, and everyone is plastered, and we're loud, and we're obnoxious. And the bar crawl has like, it started off like light in the beginning, but as more people started to pile in, like we've all got on these t-shirts, and we're obnoxious, and we've taken over like half the bar at this point. And the waitress, like, God bless, you know, whoever that was, but dealing with all of us, suddenly, like, oh, it's already loud, but we hear a very loud voice, and it's Bucket. And everyone's looking like, why is Bucket so loud with the waitress? He was saying, I want a gin and tonic without the tonic. And so the waitress was like,
a gin lime.
Oh, gin and tonic? And he's like, yeah, 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 but without the tonic. And she's like, so you want a shot of gin? And he's like, no, I want a gin and tonic without the tonic. He wanted a glass of gin.
With a lime? And some ice?
I do not know if a lime was in his thought or not. But
yeah, listen, I wouldn't, no disrespect to the college bars, but you don't get the fresh fruit from the college bars. Just leave it alone.
But he was requesting, and it's probably not illegal to serve gin in a glass that size, but he was.
It should be. What are you doing?
But the way he was asking for it, like, I want a gin and tonic without the tonic. And the waitress was just not getting it. And so that's just been how a lot of us remember Bucket is. when state news people get together, we're just like, remember at the bar crawl when Mike and you ordered a gin and tonic without us?
When you said you heard his voice over everybody else at the bar, too, I was having a hard time picturing that in my mind's eye because he's kind of a soft-spoken guy.
You know, one day you should come to the office when Mikey's in town and hear how rambunctious they get.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, do you remember the Bum Four day?
No.
So they came in, the two of those clowns, Bucky and Mike. when Bucky and Mike were in here, they kept going up to everybody like, oh, you're gonna need a bum for your gig this week. You gotta make sure you get a bum four. And then they were just waiting for you to go, what's a bum for? It's for poop. Like a very Mike Yum joke.
Yeah.
But every time somebody fell for it, Bucket like erupted. Like, this is the greatest. Like just loved that. So I can.
And they both get so pissed when you wouldn't give them the satisfaction when they'd ask. You'd just be like,
never.
I just rolled my eyes at them and they're like, seriously?
Because they're both like.
I'm thinking about this one random day at MLive when Bucket wore a fake mustache.
What?
And I look back, like, we were, like, young and crazy at M Life, but, like, now, like, you know, one of my old coworkers is, like, the lead Capitol beat reporter at the Detroit News. Another started her own newsletter. I'm working at the mayor's office. And another guy is, like, Lions reporter at the news. And all we all just kind of went to all these, like, you would never believe that we all started at, like, you know, wearing fake mustaches at M Life. So, like,
how some of the best talent comes around from good old fake mustache.
I'll still sport a fake mustache. I don't care. It's the QuizzoCast. Questions from the vault.
Aaron, before we wrap up with you, we're going to put you in the hot seat.
Oh, no.
For those of you who do not have Aaron's book, How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass,
it's easy to spot
because the cover looks just like Aaron's favorite beverage, which is
Verner's.
And we have some trivia questions to ask you about Verner's.
No.
Have a self-professed Verner's lover, and we want to see just how well you know Verner's. You've got five questions.
All right.
I'm going to start with number one. What was the name of the Detroit pharmacist that created Verner's?
James Verner.
Easy peasy. He ripped that one right off.
Time to go for number two.
Yeah, let's keep it moving. Number two. What was the name of the drugstore that James Verner worked at when he first created his ginger ale beverage?
Verner's? I don't know.
That would have been bold. Higby and Stearns.
Okay.
Is that a thing people knew?
I believe it was pretty famous. Pretty famous. I feel like there's a sign in the Detroit Historical Museum downstairs in the cobblestone area.
Oh, yeah.
But I totally could be wrong on that.
All right.
But I'm going to go with it.
Question number three. What is the name of the gnome-like bearded mascot of Verner's?
I don't know. Is it Verner?
I never knew he had a name.
He has a name?
I didn't know he had a name. I know exactly what it looks like.
You'll learn today.
His name is Woody.
Okay.
And as a bonus, in the 70s, Verner's held a contest to give their mascot a new name, offering a trip to Disney World for the winning team. They chose a winning name, but ultimately it didn't stick. I'm going to guess you're not going to know the other
He's
name
gonna
either.
He's going to say Verner.
Jerome the Gnome.
That's actually a
I really like the name Jerome the Gnome.
I think Jerome the Gnome is better than Woody, but it didn't stick apparently back in the 70s.
Wasn't it Wooden Barrels?
Yeah.
I'm also Facebook Living on the Quizzo.
Facebook Living, using the microphones.
Woody came because it was started in Wooden Barrels, right?
That makes sense.
Okay, there you go.
Number four, this is always the hardest question as our Quizzo faithful know. The 1980s, Verner's attempted to expand to the West Coast by releasing a line of fruit-flavored soft drinks. Those were called what? Told you it was the hard one.
Fruity Verner's.
Fruity V's. Think of a case
that
of Fruity
could be
V's.
Something else.
I did not. I should. You know, there's never been a book written about Verner's. One about Faygo. There's one about Betterman. And yeah.
Pitter patter.
It is California Natural.
Okay.
That sounds awful.
I feel like I've heard that before, though. Now that's triggering something in
me. Right. If you don't get this last one that John throws at you, you have to pick a new favorite drink.
I just know that it's a recognizable drink for Detroit. Like, I know about the medicinal parts of it.
He
like,
just likes ginger ale.
We do this to everybody. You should have heard us berating the beer guys who are in here.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's number five. This is a softball for you, Aaron. What is the delicious treat of a scoop of vanilla ice cream mixed with a glass of Verner's known as?
That is a Boston cooler.
Yes, Boston
Which bothers
cooler.
Me, it should be called a Detroit cooler because why?
Do you know where the name came from?
Oh, here's some bonus trivia for you.
I will assume it came from Massachusetts.
It did not. It came from Boston Boulevard in Detroit.
Oh.
That's where the name comes
from. But where did Boston Boulevard's name come from?
I would guess my hometown.
Massachusetts.
Like, there we go.
Yeah, the Rock Island.
So technically,
you're
I was
take
right.
a victory on the transitive yeah. property right now.
It's A equals B.
Yeah, no, wait a second.
He put a hotel down on that square
yeah.
in Monopoly.
It's pretty solid, honestly.
1,500 if you land on it.
Like. In episode one, they put us on the spot. I got like half a question right. So
yeah, you bombed the first. You did better than Tom did in episode one in his debut. So.
Listen, hey, and that's why I haven't answered questions since. I just ask them, right?
Which you'd know if you listened.
So, I want to circle back to your book. I know it's a full book of how to not be an asshole, but just for the casual podcast
jackass.
Listener. Oh, jackass, excuse me.
You'd probably run into more issues if you used asshole in the title.
I'm sure it would be tougher to publish.
Tipper Gore would not approve.
So anyways, do you want to give us a couple off the top of your head, or maybe any favorites just for the casual podcast listener, how to not be a jackass here in Detroit?
Well, I mean,
without giving the book away, without giving, still want you to go out and buy it.
Biggest one to me, and it's a frequent topic of conversation at work and social circles and things like that, is that there is a world that exists outside of downtown. I think a lot of people move downtown and work downtown and never leave downtown. And there's nothing that would stop someone from doing that. But at the same time, people build that sentiment of like, oh, everything is here and everywhere else in Detroit is such a wasteland. It's terrible and things like that. And you're talking about like places like where I grew up. And you're talking about places where the bulk of the city lives. Like, you, if you come to Detroit, you talk bad about Detroit. You're talking now, you're no longer talking about a city you don't live in. You're talking about your residents, your neighbors. And that's the number one thing that happens. The other thing is, if you do move to a neighborhood outside of downtown, which everyone encourages you to do, you know, you can have the American dream and home ownership and, you know, brick house, maybe not a picket fence, but, you know, a chain link fence is just as nice. But
if you put some nice ivy on it,
if you spray paint it white, you know, but when you move into a neighborhood that you're new to, you know, respect the neighbors around you, be social with them, be friendly to them. Detroit is a city in the Midwest, and Midwest people are folksy. You know, we don't seem like the Midwest because we're not cornfields and cows and stuff like that. But geographically we are. And we're also a city where a lot of people have Southern roots and they bring with that Southern mannerisms and, you know, Southern hospitality. So we're this weird combination of Southern hospitality and Midwest folksiness, which means people are much more nicer than you would assume them to be. And when you are in a neighborhood where everybody knows each other and everybody's been living there for like 20, 30 years, and you move in and you don't talk to anyone and your nose is up in the air. And also, you might also be trying to like change that neighborhood or bring some new things, bring new rules, like, oh, you know, don't sit on your porch or something like that. And New York Times just did a whole like photo series about, you know, there's an entire culture around front porches in Detroit. You know, it's where car games are played, music is listened to and things like that. And people can move into a neighborhood. I mean, it happens in San Francisco and all these other places where people like try to change the culture of a neighborhood. Like, talk about in Brooklyn or something like that, like this lady called, you know, the cops on this ice cream truck that had been going up and down the block for like decades. And that's what we don't want to happen in Detroit. We want you to come and be a good neighbor, be a respectful neighbor, be a friendly neighbor. So
I think the word that is under the surface here, but it's people are afraid to use it because it's just such divisive.
Here it comes.
Uh-oh. You know, I know what it is.
Here it comes.
Gentrification.
Yep. There it is. Yep.
Bing, bing.
And I think that in reading your book, I think a theme that you hit on so well as a native Detroiter is, you know, come here and respect the area, but don't try to change it. Like, if you want to build up and put some cool stuff in Detroit, that's great.
Yeah.
But don't gentrify us. Like, we're Detroiters is, I think, the point of your book, right?
Yeah, and I'll honestly say, and I've been saying this, like, we are a long way from gentrification truly happening. It's happened in some instances. For example, there was a building called the Albert. It's still called the Albert, but it was used to be a senior citizen building for many, many years. And then the landlord converted it to a market rate building. So that forced a lot of those fixed income people out and brought in this new class. That would be considered gentrification. But if you're talking about like what's happening in Brooklyn, where you see like blocks and blocks and blocks changing overnight, like it used to be a bodega and now it's a yoga studio and stuff like that. Well, we've got yoga studios and we've got some of these new fancy things, but there was like nothing there before it.
Right.
We're
filling up a lot of the empty storefronts.
Yeah, we're filling up a lot of emptiness. So when people say, like, it does bother me when people say like, oh, Detroit has yoga studios now. It's just like, well, we didn't have yoga studios like in this space.
Because people do yoga.
Yeah, so we could stand to use some of this new stuff. What we don't want to happen is a place like, you know, I was at the Old Miami last night. You know, if the Old Miami gets replaced with a pokey place, then I'll start waving the red flag.
Right. Like, we can only have so many Noodle Kings.
Yeah.
You want to do a noodle pop-up shop in the backyard at the Old Miami? Now we're talking, but you better leave that bar alone.
Yeah, where would all the vets go, right?
That's what we're most at risk of happening is we have seen what has happened in Brooklyn. We have seen what has happened in Austin, in San Francisco, in all of these different places. We have seen what's happened. Let's make sure that doesn't happen again. So you have people, honestly, people in city government and a lot of, you know, you have to give credit to everyone, community organizations, neighborhood groups, nonprofits, all working together to say, like, let's not, you know, a lot of people mistake it, like, especially newer residents. We're not saying keep the city as it is, like, keep this abandoned building here and keep this abandoned building. We want some of that stuff gone, but we also want to take care of the people who have stuck it out and been through it and make sure that they are not pushed out as new stuff comes in.
It's a balance.
Right. Keep our authenticity of being Detroit.
So before we move on to the final segment, we got to plug your stuff. The name of the book.
The name of the book, How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass.
The name of the website where we can check out your storyteller stuff about City of Detroit.
The neighborhoods with an S .org.
Neighborhoods.org. And then, of course, where can we see you host trivia?
Wednesdays at 6 at Firebird in Greektown. Fuck
yeah! It's the Quizzocast.
All right, Katie, we've got all kinds of fun special events coming up. Aaron, feel free to jump in on this conversation too. We're not, you're not cut off.
Okay.
Cut off.
You're still welcome.
You're gin without tonic.
right. We're going to take the gin tonic and the lime. You know what? You can even throw some ice in there too. Okay. So Katie, what do we have coming up? Let's run through it.
Well, coming up real soon, we have Disney trivia at 3 o'clock and roughly 6:15.
A double feature.
The 3 o'clock reservation went so swiftly that they added a second, which has also been booked to capacity so far.
Wow.
These are going to be January 20th at Hogs Hollow with host Pajama Dan.
PJD!
Jammy Dan for the Disney.
A Sunday doubleheader of Disney this weekend.
It's going to be a rough one.
We're going to have to ask Dan, is he going to stay at the Hollow the whole time? Or is he going to like slip out and take a break?
He's going to sneak out between games of Disney trivia, do shots, and come back in.
Only if it's a cheat day.
Why sneak
unless
out?
Unless it's wine.
All right, what's the next one?
Sex in the City. That's going to be Monday the 21st at Pops for Italian. We are going to have a costume contest there. It's going to be hosted by Julie.
Cool.
Are you supposed to dress like the characters?
Yes, dress like the characters. I've put together a nice, real swell gift basket of the only
Manolos.
Caliber. Because I can afford that. The kind of thing you'd get from a trivia company.
Some sleep for everybody.
No, we're out of that.
Fidget spinners and sleep aid.
We are fresh out of those. I'm hoping more people come in with like trash bag dresses and like puffy skirts and
just
t-shirts.
Stuff from specific episodes.
I don't know. It's just fun.
All right, keep it moving.
All right, January 22nd.
So this is 3 days in a row.
So special many days
events.
In a row.
Custom trivia.
So that'll be this Tuesday.
Seinfeld trivia at Detroit Shipping Company. And that is with Tim. Ooh, so if you had previously triviaed with Tim at Detroit Shipping, you can relive the glory days. Only it's a Seinfeld theme.
Seinfeld trivia would be a lot of fun. And that's a cool venue too, Detroit Shipping Company.
Yeah,
that's a really
cool.
I've mentioned this on the podcast before. We did Seinfeld trivia at Bee Nectar and it was a blast. I mean, the people who came out, we had so much fun. I had a ton of custom outfits, t-shirts. We had people doing the dance from Elaine.
Yeah, we saw a couple of puffy shirts over at G-Willy's for
it was great.
Too.
Seinfeld is one of those shows that you don't have to watch, but it's so ingrained and like...
Yeah, you just know
it. Culture, yeah.
You just know it.
All right, so what's next after Seinfeld, Katie?
Later that week.
Ooh, This one's me.
Do you want to plug it yourself?
Was that a Sex in the City secretary later that week?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, well done, sir.
That's what I thought that was. Like that's.
I am going to roll with that. Thank you, Aaron. If you didn't get your socially awkward fix with Seinfeld trivia, we are also doing Curb Your Enthusiasm at Bee Nectar that night with our very own Quizzocast host, Tom.
It's going to be pretty good. Love Curb. I have been, like when we got the announcement of like our lineup, I was like, oh, guess who's watching Curb from start to finish again.
Monday, January 28th, Hennessy's over in Clinton Township at 18 in Hayes is going to be doing a Game of Thrones theme night.
Not wait until April. They're doing it now.
They're doing it now.
With the announcement of the new season, this is good timing actually. So
It'll be a good kickoff so people can start planning their watch parties and whatnot. Get their costumes ready and their cosplays.
That was a long list. Do we have it up on the website for easy digestion?
It is absolutely on the website. We have them in our weekly schedule, which have a little feature highlight, real cool stuff. And then there's also an individual theme night specific scroll down that you can see just the specialized trivia games. We don't pick the theme. The themes come to us.
Really?
The bars pick the theme?
Yep, the bars pick the theme.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you to our guest, Aaron Foley. Storyteller
guys.
For the chief storyteller or storyteller?
Chief storyteller.
Chief storyteller.
Don't
for the
bunk him down to just regular old storyteller.
And the second most famous Quizzo host.
That's it. Aaron, thanks again for coming in. Katie, being the voice of the podcast and the master of ceremonies for everything exciting we do. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
John, see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good, my friend.
Good luck to your Patriots.
Don't spit on me when you talk.
This has been the QuizzoCast. Listen to all of our episodes in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Find Quizzo on Facebook and Instagram at Quizzo Detroit, or follow us on Twitter at Quizzo. See you at the bar.